see it there still? You know what that is?
Yes, arsenic. And to me, at least, the means of murdering my brother.
Well, today, that bottle of meat juice can be seen in the Black Museum.
From the annals of the Criminal Investigation Department of the London Police, we bring you the dramatic stories of the crimes recorded by the objects in Scotland Yard's Gallery of Death, the Black Museum. In just a moment, you will hear The Black Museum, starring Orson
Aunt Rose is very ill, and there's no one to stay with her. You've been out all day, so I've written to reserve rooms to save time before I told you.
Yes, of course. You ought to go. Dotty can watch over David, I suppose.
Dotty is a jewel among servants, dear. Of course she can.
Excellent. I saw Dr. Hubert today, my dear. He's not at all satisfied with my condition. However, we shall see. He's given me another...
Evil to him who evil thinks. Perhaps. Still, the greeting between aunt and niece at the Plaza Hotel in London was something to think about.
Darling!
Darling!
Oh, my darling. It's been so long.
Too long, my beloved, too long. But now, my sweet, 3 whole days together. 3 glorious days.
Oh, John.
An interesting aunt, wouldn't you say, particularly when a young wife is half her husband's age. Now, there were some things which Ruth Hammond had in common with her husband. One was a love of horses and horse racing. It followed then that when the time for the Grand National arrived, Robert pulled himself together and took his wife to the world-famous race. And then an incident took place relevant to this story.
Oh, it's wonderful, Robert. Just wonderful.
I'm glad you're enjoying yourself, my dear.
Hello, Ruth. Imagine running into you here.
John. Oh, John.
The gentleman seems to know you, my dear.
I'm sorry. Mr. John Browning. My husband.
How do you do?
Well, thank you. And you?
As well as can be expected.
John's an old friend of mine, Robert. Aren't you, John?
Yes, I think I can say I am.
Won't you join us? There's plenty of room in our box, and I'm sure we'll be happy to have...
A casual meeting, a simple introduction, a gesture of hospitality, but who would expect a circumspect young woman to cast caution and good behavior to the winds?
Dolly!
Yes, sir, Mr. Hammond. Right here, sir.
Where were you?
I was upstairs, sir, with Boss David. Is Mistress with you?
I left her at the racetrack.
Oh, will she be along soon, sir? I mean, sir.
I don't care what you mean or what she does.
Robert. Robert can never forgive me.
If you must make an exhibition of yourself, Ruth, must it be in public?
Is that all you care about? Your public pride?
I ought to bar you from my bed and board forever. If it went for my son, I would.
Robert, please. Please forgive me. I'll never act like that again. John Browning is out of my life. Truly he is.
Very well. We shall see.
Dottie. Yes, sir?
Forget what you've seen here. Understand? Forget it all.
Now, as the husband's turn to visit London, Robert Hammond went to the city to see a specialist about his nerves, about the pains he believed came from his liver. From the specialist, he went directly to a chemist's shop.
I'd like this prescription filled, please.
Very good, sir. Thank you, sir.
Can you make it up quickly?
Yes, I can, sir, but... And you'll have to sign a receipt for this preparation. It contains strychnine, sir.
The wife, too, was visiting a chemist. A chemist in Liverpool.
Anything else, ma'am?
No, I think that completes the list. Oh, no, I'd almost forgotten. Fly papers. You do have fly papers, don't you?
Yes, ma'am. Any particular brand?
No, but I prefer the strongest you have. I hate to see anything linger longer than necessary.
Ruth Hammond took her purchases with her. At home, she rang for the maid.
You want me, Mum?
Yes. Is there any hot water on the stove?
Oh, yes, Mum. Cook always keeps the kettle boiling.
Very well, Dotty. I want the kettle and the dishpan. I have to soak some fly paper.
Whatever for, Mum?
A druggist, or a chemist you'd call him, in America showed me how to obtain the arsenic from fly paper. It's part of a preparation to keep the complexion fresh. And my skin is none too good these days, Dottie. Fetch the kettle and the dishpan, will you please? Thank you.
Nothing more would have been thought about that, about the quarrel in the hall, if another event had not occurred almost immediately. Robert Hammond fell ill. Not merely the imaginary illness of the hypochondriac, but an actual illness. Dr. Hubert was called. He made his examination. Then?
May I see you a moment, Mrs. Hammond?
Of course, Doctor.
I must admit I'm puzzled by Mr. Hammond's symptoms. His heart seems strong enough. He complains of chest pains and this constant retching. I'm worried, Mrs. Hammond.
Have you no diagnosis?
I prefer a consultation, if you don't mind.
Whatever you think, of course, Doctor. Whatever you think best. Robert's never been like this.
A consultation. The learned doctors probed and listened and probed again. Dr. Hubert stood by then and waited. Outside the sick room, Dr. Davis addressed himself to the problem.
I don't like it, Hubert. All that retching. It's the prime symptom of arsenical poisoning.
The man's been dosing himself with arsenical medicine for years.
I know those compounds. The amount of arsenic is minute. Hubert is nursing him.
Well, his wife, of course, with some help from the maid.
I want a registered nurse in there, and no one else.
You don't suspect anything, do you, Davis?
I want to prevent suspicion if I can. Get a nurse in there as soon as possible. Meanwhile, we'll prescribe tonics, meat juices, and that sort of thing. I want the bottles watched, night and day. The medicine, the patient, the nurse, all that's in the sick room. Everything and everyone else outside. Including the lovely wife. Yes, including the lovely wife.
And today, a bottle of meat juice can be seen in the Black Museum.
In just a moment, we will continue with the Black Museum, starring Orson Welles.
Ridiculous, Dottie.
Is that you, Ruthie? Please come here.
Of course, my dear.
Have they been keeping you away from me?
Oh, please, Mom.
Are these all your medicines, Robert?
Yes, dear. And most of them are filthy tasting.
Poor Robert.
Oh, ma'am, you're not supposed to touch
this meat juice. Can't be bad, Robert. It certainly smells good, like good rare steak. I wouldn't mind taking it myself.
And all these other pills.
Wouldn't you mind taking it yourself, Mrs. Hammond? I wonder now that I'm not alone in that. Brother Arthur wondered, too, and he worried, particularly when he found you alone in the pantry washing medicine bottles.
Hi, Ruth. Washing bottles? Isn't that Dottie's work?
This at least I can do for my husband, even though I'm not allowed to see him.
But you did see him yesterday.
And if I did, who has a better right?
I'm not speaking of rights, Ruth. I'm speaking of wrongs.
If you have something of which you wish to accuse me, why don't you?
I may. You see, I had the meat juice you handled yesterday analyzed.
I see. You did?
It contained arsenic.
And you insinuate I put it there?
I do.
I did put something in that bottle. Robert asked me to. Some powder he had in a small box. He told me it always gave him relief, and the doctors had forbidden it.
I see. They forbade it. Well, my dear sister-in-law, we shall see what we shall see.
They saw soon enough. 24 hours later, a weeping Dottie told Brother Arthur.
Oh, the master's death. Just a moment ago. So quick it came. There was no time to call anybody, not even you, sir.
Dr. Hubert stated,
I personally will not certify this death until there has been a post-mortem by Dr. Davis.
And Dr. Davis reported,
death was due to aggravated inflammation of the internal organs. The body contains something less than half a grain of arsenic. I recommend an immediate investigation by the police.
Enter Inspector Adams, CID.
What's your opinion, Dr. Hubert, as an expert on this case?
It will be very difficult to have an opinion, Inspector. You see, Mr. Hammond was a true hypochondriac, always dosing himself with patent medicines, all kinds of prescriptions, but the man's dead. And added to the difficulty is that there seems no really natural cause for his passing.
Thank you, Doctor.
Not at all, Inspector. Anything I can do for you?
From the doctor's office, the inspector made his way to the house of mourning. There his first object of inquiry was Arthur Hammond.
So you are suspicious of the cause of death.
Wouldn't you be, Inspector?
I need more facts in my division. There are such things as libel laws, sir, and charges of false arrest.
Perhaps you'd be interested in this, Inspector.
What is it?
A letter written by the widow to her London paramour and discovered quite by accident.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Hammond, which you think might be...
There were several things which Brother Arthur brought to the attention of the inspector, and these, in turn, brought Dottie into the presence of the man from the yard.
Now, there's no need to be frightened, girl. What's all this about your mistress and a bottle of meat juice?
I saw her slip something in the bottle. I kept the bottle. Here it is, sir.
Did anyone else touch this bottle besides Mrs. Hammond?
Only nurse, sir. She guarded the medicines proper, she did. Much better than I could.
I see. Then you are prepared to swear that no one touched the bottle before or after Mrs. Hammond except the nurse?
Yes, sir. I am. Oh, swear, sir? You mean in a trial-like, Inspector?
Yes, my girl. Oh, hadn't you thought of it before the police came in?
The questioning completed for the moment, Inspector Adams gave his instructions.
Sergeant, I want the Hammond house searched from top to bottom. Here's the warrant. Get to work.
The sergeant took a crew and did go to work. Every nook and cranny of the old house was seen to. Closet walls were sounded in search of secret panels. Hearthstones were pried loose. Even the coal bin was emptied. Sergeant Hall reported
morning with a list. The fly paper was not on the list.
The chemist had no idea what Ruth Hammond had wanted with the fly paper. However, Dottie did.
Yes, sir. She boiled the arsenic out of the fly paper.
Boiled it out? Whatever for?
She said to make something for a complexion. She told me she'd heard about it in America, sir.
And did you, Dottie, ever see her use such a preparation?
No, sir. I never did.
And the defense? Well, in 1892, the accused did not testify in self-defense. The accused was permitted, however, to make a statement under oath.
My Lord Justice, with your permission, my Lord, three things. I did soak the fly papers for the arsenic they contained. I made a cosmetic preparation from it, which I learned about from Dr. Henry Masefield in Brooklyn, New York, when I lived there. I did put powder into my husband's medicine. He asked me to. It was a preparation he brought back from London, which had helped him many times before, but which his doctors here refused to give him. Finally, my lord, I wish to state that for the sake of our son, for David's sake, my husband and I had a complete reconciliation, and on the day before his death, I made a full confession of the terrible wrong I had done him.
The jury retired. The court waited. The prisoner waited. The crowds waited. Hours passed. Then the knock on the locked door of the jury room. The bailiff opened. The 12 good men and true filed back in the jury box. The judge's gavel rapped.
Released.